is Shaylin Hudson. I make candles for Scene Creations, and the price is anywhere from $3 to $8. If you'd like to contact me about purchasing any, you could call me at 907-401-1095.
You have a Facebook page? No? Okay. Hello, and welcome to Horror After Hours. Coming to you from the Naughty Guy Studio, I'm your host, the Naughty Guy, Adam J. I know a few of you have asked me in the past, what does the J stand for when you say Adam J? Well, the J stands for my middle name, which is John, and that's spelled J-O-N. When I was growing up, all of my aunts and uncles and my grandparents always called me Adam John. That's just a fun little tidbit there. So tonight's going to be kind of a quick episode. It's looking like the Blueberry Arts Festival is on track and will take place in downtown Ketchikan. And it's not going to be at the State Building, but it will be on August 7th, and it's going to be in downtown Ketchikan, like I said. They're going to have three streets closed off, and they're going to have all the vendors lined up, so it should be a lot of fun. I'll have a table set up to display all of my Naughty Guy products, such as my doormats, the keychains, and so much more. So if you're in the Ketchikan area on August 7th, come check out the Blueberry Arts Festival. There's always so much to see and do, so look for the Naughty Guy. So if you like slasher movies, this is my top 10 recommendations. No particular order, but these are definitely some of my favorites. We'll start with Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984. This is a Wes Craven masterpiece. The plot outline goes, several Midwest teens fall prey to Freddy Krueger, who is a disfigured midnight mangler who preys on the teens in their dreams, which in turn kills them in reality. After investigating the phenomenon, Nancy begins to suspect that a dark secret kept by the parents of the teens may be the key to unraveling the mystery. But can Nancy and her boyfriend Glenn solve the puzzle before it's too late? Next is Friday the 13th, 1980. This was the original. Gotta love it. The story goes, in 1957, a young boy named Jason drowns in a lake near Camp Crystal Lake. The next year, two counselors are murdered. In 1980, a descendant of the original owners reopens the Camp Crystal Lake with some counselors' help. The counselors get killed one by one by a mysterious person. You actually don't see the killer until the end, which is awesome. Could it be Jason? Could he be out for revenge? Who knows? Watch the movie. You'll love it. Next up, we've got Alice, Sweet Alice, from 1976. The story goes, Alice Spages is a withdrawn 12-year-old girl who lives with her younger sister Karen and their mother Catherine. Karen gets most of their mother's attention, and Alice is often left out of the spotlight. When Karen is found brutally murdered in a church before her first Holy Communion, Alice is the spotlight of suspicion. But is a 12-year-old girl really capable of such savagery? As more people die at the hands of a merciless killer, Alice's family and the police don't know what to believe. Really a fun movie. This one caught my attention when I was very young, and it's still one of my favorites. So check it out. You might like it. Next up, we've got Dressed to Kill from 1980. While taking a shower, Kate Miller, a middle-aged, sexually frustrated New York City housewife, has a rape fantasy while her husband stands at the sink shaving. Later that day, after complaining to her psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Elliott, about her husband's pathetic performance in bed, she meets a strange man at a museum and returns to his apartment, where they continue an adulterous encounter that began in the taxicab. Before she leaves his apartment, she finds papers which certify that the man has a venereal disease. Panicked, Kate rushes into the elevator, but has to return to his apartment when she realizes she's forgotten her wedding ring. When the elevator doors open, She's brutally slashed to death by a tall blonde woman wearing dark sunglasses. Liz Blake, a high-class call girl, is the only witness to the murder, and she becomes the prime suspect and the murderer's next target. Liz is rescued from being killed by Kate's son, Peter, who enlists the help of Liz to catch his mother's killer as Detective Marino, who is in charge of the case, is uncooperative in the investigation. This is a very smart slasher movie. I really enjoyed this one. It's worth checking it out. If you haven't seen it, watch it. If you've already seen it, watch it again. It's a good one. Next up is Happy Birthday to Me from 1981. Story goes, Virginia Wainwright is a spirited young woman who has returned to a private school having survived a deadly accident and regenerative brain surgery. She is proud that she belongs to the top 10, the school's inner circle with the best students, and attempts to resume a normal life. But her friends are falling prey to a grueling series of murders, and soon there will be no one left to attend her 18th birthday party. Could it be her? Striving to rekindle the memory of her nightmarish accident, Virginia suffers from memory loss and traumatic blackouts. We soon learn the horrible truth behind her accident and what's going on before her birthday party. Another great slasher movie. If you haven't seen it, watch this one. This is a fun movie. Next up, we've got Haunt. That's from 2019. On Halloween, a group of friends encounter an extreme haunted house that promises to feed on their darkest fears. The night turns deadly as they come to the horrifying realization that some nightmares are real. Very fun movie, very smart slasher movie. There's a lot going on in here. There's a lot of undertones for lots of different things. So if you haven't seen this one, you got to watch it. It's really a fun movie. So next up, we've got Hellfest from 2018. Hellfest is introduced as a horror theme park which travels across the country during the Halloween season. A young woman from Cincinnati is shown to be separated from her group during one of the mazes. There, she is confronted by a masked figure known as the Other. She recognized the other man, the Other as a man who had been following her and her group of friends the entire night. The Other attacks the girl, stabbing her in the gut before hanging her. The young girl's corpse appears to blend in with the other prop bodies, and the Other leaves the scene. Natalie is shown to be arriving at her former apartment where her best friend, Brooke, still resides. She greets her old friend, but is disappointed to learn that a former classmate, Taylor, from whom Natalie does not get along with, is living with her. Though Natalie's visit was planned, Brooke is shown to have been uncertain that Natalie would actually arrive, as she had been distant of late due to school and work. As such, Brooke and Taylor arranged a visit to Hellfest with Quinn, Brooke's boyfriend, Taylor's boyfriend Asher, and their respective friend Gavin, who is attracted to Natalie. This was also a really interesting slasher movie. This, I would recommend, give it a solid 3 chainsaws out of 5. It's worth watching, even if you only watch it once. Next up, I've got House on Sorority Row from 1983. A group of girls staying at a sorority house clash with the house's owner, who wants them out. They decide to play a prank on her, but it goes awry and she winds up dead. Panicking, the girls try to hide the body, but someone or something witnessed the crime and begins to stalk them. This movie really keeps you guessing all the way to the very end, which really still holds up to this day. So this is also a very good slasher movie. Fun to watch. This is your typical 80s slasher. Definitely one of my favorites. All right, so next up we've got Intruder from 1989. The ex-boyfriend of a checkout girl at a supermarket returns at closing time to make trouble. They quarrel and the boyfriend is ejected from the store. After they lock the building to take inventory, the employees start dying off. And the survivors must eventually find a way to escape with their lives. This one I didn't see coming. Very fun movie. Gruesome in some parts. This was an early Sam Raimi movie. Definitely worth watching. So next up, number 10, we've got Pieces from 1982. While playing with a puzzle, a teenager is repressed by his mother, and he kills her and severs her body with an axe. 40 years later, in a university campus in Boston, a serial killer kills young women and severs their body into parts, stealing body pieces from each student. Lieutenant Bracken makes a deal with the dean on the campus and infiltrates the agent, Mary Riggs, as if she were a tennis teacher, and together with the student, Kendall, they try to find the identity of the killer. This one is just like it sounds, Pieces. Very gruesome in some parts, very gory, but very typical 80s slasher and really fun to watch. So I do have a bonus movie here, which is my all-time favorite slasher movie. Everybody knows, Halloween, 1978. Story goes, the year is 1963, the night, Halloween. Police are called to 43 Lampkin Lane, only to discover that 15-year-old Judith Myers has been stabbed to death by her 6-year-old brother, Michael. After being institutionalized for 15 years, Michael breaks out on the night before Halloween. No one knows, nor wants to find out, what will happen on October 31st, 1978, besides Myers' psychiatrist, Dr. Loomis. He knows Michael is coming back to Haddonfield, but by the time the town realizes it, it'll be too late for many people. That is definitely my all-time favorite slasher movie. They had a simple budget of $300,000, and it went on to make $45 million, which I believe by today's standards would have been $158 million. So that's known as one of the most successful independent films of all time. But this has been fun. That's all I have for you this evening, folks. Big shout out to all of my friends near and far. I thank you and keep listening. Big shout out to you, Jamie, down in Washington, and to Ron. Thanks a lot, guys. I'm your host, the naughty guy, Adam J. This is Horror After Hours, signing off. Good night, everyone.